Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, and that's the latest slap of the bass. It is time for the weekend wrap, surveying the squared circle. Well, we got lots of things to talk about tonight. Unfortunately, the champ won't be with us, but I'm hoping the professor gets in, and we're going to start off talking with John Scully. And Scully posted some pictures from Muhammad Ali's old training camp. And also we see his fighter is set to fight Joe Smith. I believe it's December 15th, which would be one approximately a month from today. So let's see what's going on with Mr. Scully up there in New England. Scully, how you doing?
Hello. Oh, everything's good. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, man. Doing great. Scully, I know it's I saw some pictures that you posted up Muhammad Ali's old training camp. Now, were you in the one in Kentucky or were you in the one up in New England?
No, he only had one training camp. It was in, it's in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania. Yeah, he bought it in 1972 and, trained there all the way till his last fight.
I thought someone had bought that camp.
Yeah, actually, Mike Madden, who's, the son of John Madden, he bought it, and refurbished it. He's actually the one who invited me to come, so I went through him, and that's how I got up there this weekend.
Oh, so what was it like? You say you refurbished it, so I mean, you know, is it back, you know, kind of in the same, you know, style like when Ali was there? A lot of things restored,
right,
or what?
Yeah, well, what it is? Well, actually, I've been there. This is my fourth time there. I actually trained there in 2008, I believe it was. And I tried to use it. We were going to use the camp for Chad Dawson when he fought Andre Ward. And we actually went up there to check it out. But Chad decided he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to use that camp. But so what they did was they took a lot of pictures and everything, and they tried to, and they looked at the old videos. And so they tried to get the furniture and you know, different things that made it look like it did back in the 70s. So it basically looks, it's always the format has always looked the same. It's always been like it was. But they, in the main house and in the different cabins, they've got different furniture and they really did a good job on the outside of all the buildings. Because they were, over the years, they were rotting away, and there was bugs and different things underneath the wood. So they fixed all that up. And his main cabin, the one he used that he used to sleep in when he was training, I don't know if you saw the picture I put up, but I took a picture,
yeah,
on the bed in the same spot that he did when he was, you know, up there. So they basically did the room to look like it did when he was there. And also in every room now, in every cabin, they have TV screens, and you know, all you have to do is touch it, and it plays a video. And in that one, it shows a video of him in the cabin. So you're in the cabin that he's in while he's on the video, talking about the cabin. So it's you know, it's kind of surreal. So yeah, everything you know, it's really, you know, basically it looks the same, but they definitely did stuff with the furniture and with the outsides of the buildings.
Now, you've been on the road quite a bit, so I know we have to talk about your boy Arthur, but before we get there, were there some other projects that you were involved in? I know there's a lot been happening in upstate New York, and I guess there's some fights coming on up there also.
Well, there's different things going on. I've been doing some stuff with different groups recently. I might have mentioned it to you last time, but I was in what was that? It's so confusing. I have so many things going on. Right now, my last trip, like I said, I was in Chicago with Arthur's fight, and but I'm actually working on currently. I'm working on a trip to Puerto Rico to help bring some awareness to Wilfred Benitez in December. I'm going to Puerto Rico for two different amateur shows they're doing. I know Felix Trinidad is the main one. He's going to be there with us. And I know him for sure. I'm assuming Wilfredo Gomez and some of those guys are going to be there also. So we're going to go and to two different amateur tournaments and kind of raise awareness for fighters in need and different things like that. So Puerto Rico is the next trip for me as far as that goes. But I'm trying to do some stuff in terms of a reunion. I'm trying to do something in New England or New York City over the next 3 or 4 months. And then I have the national championships for amateur boxing. Is coinciding with the Amateur Boxing Hall of Fame ceremony, which is in December in Salt Lake City, and I'll be out there. And as of right now, it looks like Roy Jones and Andre Ward are getting inducted, so they're supposed to be there also. I got a busy next couple months looking at.
Now, isn't Arthur supposed to be fighting in December also?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. He. Last I heard, they hadn't. It wasn't 100% finalized yet. They're working out the details. I'm basically waiting for the call for that to happen. Now I've been away, so I haven't talked to them in a few days. But as of I think 3 days ago, as I understood it, it either wasn't 100% set. Or the details weren't set. You know, they were trying to iron out some last minute things. But as it appears, he will be fighting Joe Smith. I mean, they just have to get things 100% situated. But it looks as though he's fighting Joe Smith in December.
Yeah, it's supposed to be December 15th, according to ESPN and I guess Ring Magazine.
Right. And that's actually the weekend that I have to go to Puerto Rico. And I'm already, I committed to the trip to Puerto Rico 2 days before I found out that that's when Arthur's fight would be. So, it looks like I'll go to training camp, but I won't actually be able to be with him for the fight.
But, you mentioned training camp. Joe Smith, he's basically the same fighter. I don't think that we're going to see that much change in style. So do you think, the what you've watched in Joe Smith will be able to, adequately prepare Arthur, with kind of what would be a shortened training camp for you?
He's already been training. Arthur's the type of guy like there's no real set training camp. He's always in the gym. I've been watching videos of him. He's been hitting the mitts and everything for the last several weeks. So when I get there, when I get to training camp, he's already in very good shape. So my thing, when I go to training camp with him, I'm not really working with him on conditioning. That's not my thing. I'm working with him more on technique and details like that. So he's already in great shape. That's and actually this is going to be interesting because this will be the first time as a pro that he will have fought so quickly, you know, from one fight to the next. Usually, you know, as he stepped up, because of legal troubles and injuries and different things, he was fighting, you know, with a year in between fights. Now you're going to see him with just a few months. So I'm anticipating him to be extra, extra sharp because, you know, the last fight was a tough fight. It was a war, but he, you know, he did very good boxing. He did some great things in there. So this is just going to be a continuation. So I think he's going to look, you know, extra sharp just based on that.
I see the professor is in the building. Gibran, what's going on, my man?
Not much, JK. How you doing, Scully?
No, everything's good. How you doing?
Great. I was just listening to you guys chat it up about Arthur. Is there any obstacles that you see that Joe Smith possessed for Arthur?
I mean, you know, he's obviously a big puncher, and he hits, and he's ballsy. You know, he's gutsy. You know, I think in a certain way, he's outgunned with Arthur. You know, Arthur's technique and, you know, amateur experience and his, you know, when he puts his punches together, you know, are superior. But this kid punches hard, and he lets his hands go. You know, you saw with Hopkins, which was a, you know, a huge step up for him, and, you know, he was aggressive, and he, you know, he didn't show Bernard very much respect. He did what he had to do. So I don't think he's going to be awed at all, but he'll be careful. It's kind of a funny thing because I've only met Joe Smith one time in my life, and that was about a year ago. And the funny thing was the majority of our conversation was actually about Arthur, and it's kind of funny because I was talking about Arthur, and I was just telling Joe how strong Arthur is and how hard he hits, and you know, and he was like, oh wow, okay, you know, so I'm sure he has that in his mind, you know, thinking of it, but like I say, he's a gutsy, ballsy type of kid, so you know, if anybody has a puncher's chance, you know, he's that type of guy, so Arthur is going to really have to be on his game, you know, and a lot of times, you know, when you see fights, like you see two guys about to fight and one guy looks like he might be a big favorite. The reason he's a favorite is, you know, depends on him bringing his A game. Like if you have Roy Jones fight some guy and Roy's a super, super favorite back in his prime, that you're assuming he's going to bring his A game. Now, if Roy Jones was to drop off a little bit and maybe not respect the guy or whatever, and then the other guy stepped his game up because he's fighting Roy Jones, now the gap closes a little bit and you have some problems. So Arthur, you know, I know he's a professional, and Mark Ramsey's a professional. I'm sure it's not going to be an issue, but when I'm there, I'm going to be certainly reiterating the fact that he needs to really stay focused and treat Joe for the threat that he actually is. And assuming Arthur does that, you know, he's going to be on his game. And I have to assume he's going to be too much. But that power that they both possess definitely brings an intriguing aspect of this fight to the forefront.
Well, it's kind of preparing for fights. By any chance, do you and Arthur ever sit down and watch any film together, or you do that separately by yourself?
No, we sit down. I tell you, like Mark Ramsey's he's a very technical type of coach, and so we often sit down all together, like all three of us, and we watch fights round by round, and we'll freeze frame it, and you know, and it's funny, like when I was coming up as a kid, I thought, When you hear the term training camp, I thought every fighter went to training camp, and I thought all they did all day was watch videos and, you know, figure the fight, the opponent out, and plan everything out. And, you know, and then as I got in the game, you know, I realized, like, most guys, just training camp is just training. We just train and eat and watch TV and go to bed and do the run in the morning. But Mark is one of these guys. He you know, he'll call us all in for a meeting, and we'll sit in the office for a couple of hours, and we'll just watch the fight, and we'll go over everything. So we're going to definitely, 100%. I'm sure they've already started, but we're 100%. We'll be going over the videos and watching, you know, for habits and different things like that. So we all are on the same page in terms of having all the bases covered before the fight happens.
JK?
Yeah, obviously, I thought you had some more questions there, DeBron. Scully, like you were talking, you said, you thought training camps were like they, you go, you watch film, this, that, and the other. When you have a guy that's always in more or less in the gym and on weight, how much do you think that extra time benefits you and your fighter rather than, him having to spend so much time, getting down to the weight instead of putting it in training? I mean, I think we've kind of discussed that before.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It's unbelievable. Like I could tell you, I'll tell you my own personal career. Most of my fights, after I became a 10-round fighter, most of those fights were the training camp was spent trying to make weight, trying to get the weight down, and literally walking to the scale on the day of the weigh-in, it was nerve-wracking. Like, man, am I going to make it or not? Am I going to make it? No, we're going to do it. So that was the whole focus. And I've been in camps with guys and. The whole, I tell you right now, that when Chad fought Andre Ward, that entire training camp was centered around making weight. It was not around technique or anything. It was just around making weight, because without that, everything else was a moot point. So that was, for better or worse, that was, project number one. And it didn't make for a good camp. So the good thing about a guy like Arthur, and I know a few guys like this where they're just very professional and this is their life and this is what they do. So making the weight is not an issue. And he also, and if you may have heard me talk before about it, where I'm not very high on strength coaches, they aren't my favorite people. But with that being said, Arthur has a very good strength coach, a fellow Russian, and the guy is, very much, he lets the training, benefit Arthur, not his own ego. And so we tell him what we need to do. And, sometimes I might say to him, we're trying to get Arthur's quads a little stronger, focus on that. And so that's the kind of stuff he does. And it doesn't interfere with the boxing at all. So I feel like Arthur's in a good position because he has a good team and everybody knows their role and everybody stays in their lane. And it's so far so good. So it's a beautiful thing to have a guy that 100% is going to come into shape. Because some guys you go to camp and you don't know if they're going to be 30 pounds over, if they're going to have a gut. I mean, you don't know what they're going to come in like. But Arthur, every day of his life, he appears to be in top shape. So that's a huge advantage going forward.
Yeah, Scully, you mentioned Salt Lake City and the Amateur Hall of Fame. You want to go into that a little bit before we let you go?
Well, this is the second year of the Hall of Fame. Last year, Muhammad Ali got in, Roosevelt Sanders got in, and a few other guys. But this year, Roy Jones and Andre Ward are the two, most prolific guys that are getting in. And if I'm not mistaken, Emmanuel Stewart is getting in also. So that's going to take place in the beginning of December, the same week as the United States National Championships. It's all at the same place in Salt Lake City. So we'll all be out there for that. And if I'm not mistaken, there's a little confusion. I'll have to find out for sure, but I know they wanted Al Bernstein to be the master of ceremonies. I think a Showtime fight might have come up and caused that to be a problem. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, we're like I say, we're expecting Roy, we're expecting Andre, so those two guys are going to obviously make it very special. So USA Boxing is, you know, really trying to highlight the history of amateur boxing, and that's why they helped me with my last reunion that I did out in Hollywood, Los Angeles, a few weeks ago. So they were directly involved with that. So, you know, the amateur game is picking up in that regard. They have a good team out there right now. And, you know, I'm a part of the committee that oversees it.
So, are we going to see amateur boxing in the Olympics or what, Scotty? What's the deal?
You know,
have you heard anything else?
I'll tell you what, I have not heard anything other than the article that came out, you know, a few days ago. To be honest with you, these guys haven't said anything to me about. I haven't heard anything other than what I read the other day, and I guess the guy that they appointed as the head of AIBA, amateur boxing, I guess he was a, I don't know, they said he was a drug lord or whatever he was, something crazy. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, at that level, the corruption that's involved, you know, it was very obvious, you know, it came to light after Roy Jones got robbed in the Olympics. And, you know, they basically spelled it all out, how it works. And then in the last Olympics, you had the kid, I think it was the Irish kid, Conlon, who made a name for himself by expressing his displeasure at getting robbed. So I don't know. I mean, if it doesn't go on TV, if they abolish it, maybe the handwriting is on the wall. It's been for a while, because if you remember, the Olympics used to be on prime time. I mean, you know, we used to watch Mark Breland and Sugar Ray Leonard and all these guys. And I know the last few Olympic games, I don't even think we saw any of the boxing. And when we did, I remember one time watching one of the guys, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and it was on Fox or ESPN or something, as opposed to ABC back in prime time in 1984. So, boxing has been kind of pushed aside for the last 20 years or more anyway. So if maybe this is the final nail in the coffin, but I don't know. But even without the Olympics, I mean, we're still going to be moving forward in terms of national level boxing. So, you know, as far as that show is still going to go on.
All right. Well, hey, Scully, man, as always, good to have you, and we always appreciate the time. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And any final thoughts you have, you know, seems like you're going to be busy. I don't know. We're going to be competing for your time, at least this month.
Yes, sir. Well, as always, John the Iceman Scully, and the Iceman is one word, John the Iceman Scully at Facebook, Iceman John Scully at Twitter and Instagram, and I'm always posting stuff. And actually, I posted on my Instagram. If you look at Instagram right now, I posted some really nice pictures from the training camp, including one. I think you said you saw it. It was a picture of me on the bed in the room in the same exact spot where Ali sat on the bed in the same room. So I posted that and some things like that. And you know, and like I say, I'm just excited about these next couple trips. You know, going to hang out with Trinidad in December, and I'm actually going to. I just did an auction. I'm going to have him. I have a magazine with him on the cover, and I'm going to have him sign it. And I auctioned it off. I believe the winning bid was like $450. This guy made a bid for it. So I'm going to have Tito sign it to him, to this guy, and then I'll mail it to the guy. He's supposed to be sending me $450 that I will give to Wilfred Benitez. So, things are looking up on that end, and I'm just going to keep it going.
You always speak about that, Scully, but is there a particular address or foundation where the audience could make a donation?
I tell you what, basically, he lives, he's in Chicago right now. Wilfred and his sister and her husband are staying in Chicago in an apartment, so they can get treatment there. And so they live in an apartment which is literally like less than a block away from the hospital. I don't have the address right here in front of me. I have it. What I'll do is I'll get it to you, and I'll get it to you, and you can either post it somewhere, or I can next week for next week's show I can get it to you, and you know, we'll get it out there. But I definitely have it. I just don't have it right here in front of me.
All right, Scully. Well, you have a good evening, man, and thanks so much for your time.
All right, guys. Have a good night. I'll see you later. All right.
All right. Well, that was the Ice Man, and, you know, we do know that his fighter, at least right now, as far as we know, is going to be fighting Joe Smith December 15th. Professor, I'm going to go ahead and eat my crow sandwich now before we get very deep into the show, because it seems that Mikey has vacated his title. So, therefore, it looks like that Errol Spence fight might be on, man. You keep your ear a little closer to the ground than I do, so what's up?
Yeah, it's looking like that's going to happen. It's not 100% done yet. They still got some things to iron out, like the venue and the date. But it's looking like it's going in that direction. I don't know what this fight does. Like, more and more I think about it, I actually want to see it for some reason. I actually want to see it. But we just have to wait and see what happens. I think they have to build up the undercard also if they're going to make it a pay-per-view. Because and normally PBC, over the last couple of years, those Showtime cards, those triple headers, has been pretty stacked, so I think Al Heyman will probably get together and stack the card. We'll see maybe the other Charlo on the card, or Javante Davis or somebody like that also on the card. So we'll have to wait and see.
But haven't we seen this story before? I mean, two weight classes, power puncher. I know we have a slick boxer, but, I mean, you know, you're talking about an extraordinary young fighter. You're talking about an extraordinary veteran fighter. But power, man, power rankings. I mean, you know, a good big man against a good small man. We haven't seen that work out. So as I keep harping on here, I see it as a money fight for Mikey. But I don't see the benefit. I mean, what other than having Mikey's name on his resume, what does Errol Spence gain? Because okay, well, he'd be a smaller guy. For Mikey, it's a win-win, I think. But Errol Spence would have a lot to lose. I mean, let's suppose by, you know, he has a bad night and he would lose to Mikey. What would that do to Earl?
create a rematch and then to get another big check. Because now people will be sucked in like, wow, Mikey actually did it. Like, you know, people will want to see that rematch, definitely.
So, will there be a rematch if Earl beats Mikey?
No.
How good does
it won't be no rematch if Earl beats Mikey. But if Mikey pulls off a decision, because there's no way that he's going to knock Earl out, in my opinion. But if he outpoints Earl and beats him, I think definitely they will have a rematch. And it will sell. They'll be intrigued to see what happens, especially if it's a nice action-packed fight back and forth, you know. But Mikey win enough rounds in the early rounds in the filling out process where it gets him over the hump where he win by a point.
I actually think if it goes the distance, there'll be a rematch. Earl has to knock Mikey out. There's no, I mean, otherwise, there'll, you know, there'll be those doubts and those naysayers and whatnot. You know, it's just a fight that I don't really see. I mean, this is a fight that's strictly for business. You know, why not? You know, get some of the champions, instead of having these silver and diamond and tin, all of these belts, why not unite some of those belts instead of reaching for a guy that's two weight classes less?
Try to make the Sean Porter fight. He did try to make the Sean Porter fight.
Who's that?
Earl Spence. He tried to make the Sean Porter fight, but now, I don't know if you heard, but it seems that Thurman is basically saying bump the warm-up fight and he'll go straight into the Sean Porter fight. So they're supposed to be negotiating right now.
Why not Thurman and Spence, you think? Since he wants to go straight into the Sean Porter fight, which, I mean, you know, we're talking business now. Talking business.
Because he'd have beat Sean Porter before, so he have a certain level of confidence. He might not feel as confident as in fighting Earl coming off an injury. He might feel that himself 80% can still beat Sean Porter, but he don't think a 80% of himself can beat Earl. He feel like he probably need 100% of himself to beat Earl.
Maybe 110 or 20. But anyway, that we'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of wondering. I mean, you know, it doesn't, even though he's not, you know, on the downhill and nothing like that, but as you get older, man, I mean, even what's Thurman now, 28?
All I know, you better not duck me, son. That's what he said. So he better stick by those words.
Your dad's subscriber, how did your weekend go?
Man, I didn't really get to watch too much boxing this weekend. I was really busy, tied up doing a lot of things. So, but I did, you know, some catching up on highlights and different things of that sort, reading schools because I wasn't really excited for the fight this weekend. But I see that Donnell got a victory in the most awkward way. And I feel bad for both of them. I feel bad for Donnell because now he has to walk around, even though he won. He's a champion, but it's like, he's in the similar boat as Bradley was when he beat Pacquiao the first time. It was like, you might as well have lost because the backlash that you're going to receive from that victory.
But you know, Danito wears that good guy hat pretty well. A lot of that, I think, you know, had to do with the officiating, the referee especially. What were your thoughts? I mean, when did they stop it? Like after the fourth round or something like that? I mean, it was something ridiculous.
But no, that ain't had nothing to do with the ref. He was hurt. The guy was hurt. He was injured.
Yeah, I mean. But like you said, I mean, you know, it was the way that the whole thing. It just felt like a kind of hollow victory after he had, you know, I mean, he had worn that white hat for so many years.
Time will tell when he has to defend that belt in the next round. So we'll find out what Donnell got left in the tank.
And I mean, you know, once again, you know, I mean, I understand the finances. I understand you want a name on your resume, but even in the lighter weights, we see, you know, some of these kind of tread-worn guys getting an opportunity over some of the young and upcomers. We do have some very, we do have some very good young bantamweights coming up. So why are we always reaching back in the bag for, you know, I mean, instead of giving these younger guys a chance? What do you think that is? Was Danito actually supposed to be the sacrificial lamb here?
JK, answer your own question. What is your motto?
Well,
but
I just wanted to see.
But in seat.
But and seats don't always make for the most exciting fight. That's, you know,
but he
that's...
was competitive, though. Donnell, he
oh,
came
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
He won the first round. And then, you know, they was going back and forth and seemed like Ronette was starting to take control a little bit there. So we would have found out after the sixth round what really Donaire had left because, you know, that's when the aid set in. After that sixth round, that's when you find out really what you got left in the tank.
Right. Right, that's what I'm saying was, you know, but, you know, as you correctly pointed out to me, you know, butts in seats. Were you able to watch, well, I guess you weren't, but maybe you watched the highlights of Josh Taylor? The World Boxing Super Series.
I watched one round, and that's all I needed to see because that was going to be the rest of the fight. And when I saw the results, I said, exactly.
We did have Regis back on the Tuesday show after his victory. Were you able to watch that at all? That was last week. I think that was last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked about the fight. It was dominant in the fight. Reese is our boy, but I think Josh gonna get him some problems.
That's just what I was going to ask you. When you look at the styles and you know you kind of look at the weaknesses and the positives of both. It does look like these two are headed for a collision, at least in my eyesight. But other than Josh, I haven't really seen anyone that I think that is going to be either one of these two guys. Like I said, I'm looking for these two to be in the finals. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to be in the finals, and they're going to face each other, and I think it's going to be a great explosive fight. I think Regis is going to have to find this guy because, you know, he's awkward. He's in and out. He's up and down. You know, he changes his range up, his timing. It's not always the same. He does little subtle things. Like he has good ring generalship. Regis is a good boxer also, but I think he's more successful when he's fighting an opponent more that's in front of him. You know, we really haven't seen him against really somebody that can box and that has decent power. So we'll have to see how that all plays out when they face each other.
Yeah, 12 KOs out of 14 fights. I would say he has a little pop. So, you know, I think this is one time that Regis could get his chin tested, and we could definitely see what's going on. I believe that there's talk. To talk about Mr. Hurd after he comes off surgery. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, he's on the Deontay Wilder undercard, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I think he's going to be on that Wilder undercard.
Have you heard anything about who his opponent? Because I think is this
he has an opponent, but shot? I don't know the opponent.
Yeah, that was the thing. Let's see, Jason Wellborn, the guy from England. Wellborn,
British middleweight champion. I've heard that name before. Now that you said it. For some reason, I've heard that name. But there was more action over the weekend. Our guy got back in the winning column, Sullivan Barrera, over Sean Manahan. He had a unanimous decision here in Brooklyn.
Sullivan's been trying to get back what is it, in the light heavyweight?
Correct.
When you look at the landscape of the light heavyweight division, has Sullivan actually missed his shot? I mean, you know, when you think of the Badu Jackson and you know, the Benavidez and some of those guys. I mean, has Sullivan actually, more or less become a gatekeeper yet, or has he already been regulated to that? What do you think?
Well, he only has, two losses, if I'm not mistaken. That's Andre Ward and against Bivol. So, I mean, he's a good fighter, good solid fighter, and I think he still has the opportunity to maybe capture a belt.
But what I'm saying is he become too much risk for such little reward. I mean, because it seems like everybody's able to dance around their mandatories, and even though some of them might be mandatory, like you said, my famous saying, butts in seats. Does he have enough attractability? Even though, the diehard fan knows who he is and whatnot, but, does he have enough pull?
That, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's a good one. But I will say his fighting style is fan friendly. So, you can always throw him on the card, undercard.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can always throw him on the undercard, but is he actually going to get a chance to fight, a Stevens, a Badu Jack, or a Benavidez, or any of those guys? When there are some fights out there in the light heavyweight division that could be very lucrative. And that's not a division that we really think of when we think of money. We think of the welterweights, the middleweights, and the heavyweights. We don't really think of heavyweights as bringing in those kind of dollars. Like you say, maybe you put them on the undercard or whatnot, but, unless you have the guys that I mentioned, Andre Ward has left boxing, so we don't really have that, But
you still can get a title shot. I mean, think about this. We got a fight coming up. Bivol versus who? John Pascal. Pascal is getting a title shot again. So why shouldn't Sullivan Burrell get a shot?
Hey, on paper, yes. But once again, like when we say putting butts in seats, and low reward, high risk, low reward, so forth and so on. Pascal is going to bring, he's going to bring that Canadian crowd. He's going to bring that, there's always going to be that talk. Well, John Pascal, this John Pascal. Look at what it took for Alvarez. To finally get a title. He's still waiting for Adonis to sign the papers.
But he was collecting them checks.
Oh, yeah.
Please,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
He was getting that step-aside money. You say, hey, man, think about this. He was getting two checks. He was getting step-aside money, and he was still fighting.
Yeah,
it wasn't
but he was
sitting on the bench collecting stuff aside money. He was still also fighting.
Yeah, but Barrera is not collecting those kind of checks. That's my only. I'm not saying he's not a good fighter. I'm just saying the position that he's put in, simply behind the finances. Matchbox, yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit about Matchbox, man, because a lot of people.
Matchbox. Who was that? What's that?
Not Match. What's Eddie Hearn's Match?
Match Room.
Match Room.
Right.
I keep wanting to call. I always call K9's gym underground, underdog instead of underground. I don't know what, you know. Maybe it's, you know, didn't take my Alzheimer's pills. But anyway, people were talking about, you know, how Al had overextended himself and he had signed so many fighters and, you know, that they didn't see how he was possibly going to be able to manage and whatnot. Al took a lot of flack for the way he consolidated his fighters and brought his stable into fruition. Why is there not the same outcry with Eddie Hearn that there was with Al Haymon? I mean, after all, Eddie ended up signing a lot of the fighters that were originally with Al.
Well, but they fighting. That's the difference.
Well,
there's
more platforms now. As a matter of fact, Eddie even created a platform of his own, something that, you know, Oscar and the rest of them, you know, stopped Al from even developing. I mean, wasn't this, you know, kind of the original blueprint for what PBC was supposed to do for boxing, with so many shows here, so many shows there? They were supposed to open up the networks. Then all the suits started. But now you have Eddie Hearn. He's got Matchroom, you know, plus he has a heavyweight champ. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot more platforms and you know, like you said, they are fighting each other, but, you know, it wasn't Al's fault that they weren't fighting each other. There just wasn't enough spaces for him to fill.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's on him. That's not their fault that he ain't got enough air dates.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it wasn't that he didn't try, but there was a lot of platforms that were blocked from him. Like, you know, for instance, I mean, he couldn't go on HBO and Showtime. He had to go on one or the other. He tried to get, whether he had PBC on NBC, he had PBC on Fox. But, you know, I mean, if he had been able to put up, you know, if there had been as many free platforms or streaming platforms, do you think the outcome may have been different?
Oh, sure. If this was when he first did the deal, if all these platforms would have been out then, oh, most definitely he would have been able to do more. Definitely. Is this all about the timing?
You know, I mean, one guy is considered a pioneer and one guy is considered a bust. You know, I mean, not exactly in those terms, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, JK, your buddy has done it again.
Oh, my goodness. My buddy.
Abel Sanchez.
You must be somebody.
Mr. Abel Sanchez. I watched the interview Abel Sanchez had with, I think it was Behind the Gloves. And, he was asked a couple of questions about Triple G and his opponents, and they were throwing names out there, and it was like, it was just so laughable. I had to rewind it over and over again to make sure that I was hearing it correctly. So the young lady asked him about, you know, Billy Joe Saunders, and he was like, no, you know, he don't have a belt and no title right now, and, you know, he has other issues. Then she brought up Charlo, and he's like, oh, no, for what? Why am I fighting him? Who isn't he fighting Willie Monroe? Like, he acting like Charlo don't want to fight Triple G, you know, but he's like, basically prove more. But he carries on and says that Triple G is like Canelo and Floyd Mayweather. So now he's looking for things that's lucrative for his career and big prize fight. So then in the next sentence, he says, yeah, so early 2019, we're looking to possibly fight Rob Brant. So
who?
How Rob Brant, the guy who just, exactly, who just beat Rota Marota, the Japanese guy, last week, that spoiled the upset for Triple G, that, you know, they had plans to have this big fight over there, and he ended up getting beat and losing the belt. So now he's going to fight this guy, Rob Brant. How is that a big prize fight? You know, how is that a big prize fight? Rob Brant does not even have more than about, I think he has about 7,000 Twitter followers. Like, come on. Nobody know who he is.
No, nobody knows who he is. And, you know, I mean, as you said, I mean, this fight was supposed to be the setup for a big payday, because the next fight was supposed to be in Japan. Unfortunately, Rob Brant won the fight. So now, I think it's rather evident that now Triple G is trying to look for an easy way out. They want to cash out, but they don't want to go out with a bang. I mean, Charlo's been after Triple G for the longest. You have, I believe, Keith Thurman called out Triple G at one time. Then Abel was talking about the quality of the African-American fighter. And that was even after the Danny Jacobs fight. So I think they regret not having a rematch clause with Canelo, because that's the only cash fight out there for him to make. And people are not going to pay for Triple G to fight Rob Brant and Shoeshine Bob and Billy Belaski. And, I mean, you know, it's just not going to happen. Canelo, I mean, it seems like, Abel thought he had, his next Canelo, and he was going to ride the tide. But, I mean, everyone kind of saw that train was going to slide off the tracks, that there was no way that Triple G was going to supplant Canelo. Younger fighter, more years, much more fan friendly, if you want to call it that. I mean, the way that he had been marketed. Abel is reaching for straws now, and it's really kind of pitiful because I consider Abel one of the better trainers, but I don't know if Abel should try to be the spokesperson for Triple G. Maybe you should leave that to a publicist or someone else and stick, you know, kind of strictly to training, because he makes some very ridiculous arguments. Great trainer, but poor ambassador.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. You're looking for the best lucrative fight, prize fight, but your next opponent is Rob Brandt. How does that make sense? That makes no sense at all. What, to pick up a portion of the WBA belt? Because that's not even the full version. That's not even the super champ.
Yeah, but then, you know, even if you pick up a portion, are you going to defend it? Are you going to be the next mandatory? I mean, you know, neither one of those are going to be very lucrative after two Canelo fights. You know, those days are over. You know, if you're looking for those days, you can retire. You're not Floyd Mayweather. I mean, you know, unless, you know, maybe you want to take on Conor McGregor or, you know, one of those guys. But, hey, if you don't want to fight Charlo, I don't think you want to, you know, go in the cage, Doctor.
Yeah, I mean, he's showing you, look, I'd rather go up to 68 to try to get this paper belt from this guy. Not even a full version.
But that's what I said. But, you know, you're going up to 168, but who up there in the 168? You know, I mean, come on. 168 is not going to be your cup of tea.
Nah, I think he's just going to do it for that one fight because he's not going to want to see Benavidez and those other guys at 68.
Give him some
major problems.
Not at this age.
Got Caleb Plant, Caleb
Truitt. Yeah, not if those were his intentions, you know, he would have done that, I think, at a much younger age. You know, it's not, no, it's not. We're not good, no. But like I said, you know, it sometimes, you know, we think that because we know one part, we know all parts, but sometimes you have to leave the business to others and stick to the things that you know. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, this all sounds very good to Abel, but, you know, the financial backers in there are probably saying to themselves, just like you, how are we going to pull this off?
Oh, no, it's not looking great for him, but I see he's going to do what he's been doing. He's going to chase Canelo. He's going to sign with DAZN. Watch my word. He's going to sign with DAZN so he can try to chase Canelo for a third fight. That's what he's going to do. Fight Rob Brandt on his own.
And like you said, you know, we're talking about a 5-year period for Canelo. You know, so if there's another fight, what are you talking about? 4 more years and then
Triple G is what, 40?
Oh, I don't think Canelo going to wait that long. Canelo probably wait till, all right, he win this fight and probably go back down to 160 and maybe fight Danny Jacobs or David Lemieux on Cinco de Mayo in May, and then fight Triple G in September.
He's fighting David Lemieux on Cinco de Mayo. Unless something happens, David Lemieux breaks a hand or something happens to Canelo, I kind of think it's a given that he's going to be fighting David Lemieux Cinco de Mayo.
And then September they'll do maybe the third Triple G fight next September.
Do you think people will pay for a third Triple G fight?
They won't have to worry about paying for pay-per-view, because if he's signed to the zone, all they got to do is subscribe for $10 a month.
Yeah, that's right. I keep predicting the demise of pay-per-view, I keep still thinking in those terms. But you also mentioned that this week, even though we did see some title fights on the zone, I want to say they went for quantity over quality. What do you think?
What, for far as what, this week?
As far as this week, I mean, you did have the Roman fight, which really wasn't that bad. But then you had the Mayer fight, and then who else did we have? We had a lot of little fights, but I mean, is the zone going to be a combination of Boxing After Dark or Showtime The Next Generation? Is that the secondary purpose of the zone, to get some of these fighters known?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get the fighters known, but, they also just getting started, so they got to sign more stars. It's going to take some time. But next week, they got a card coming up. You got the Tony Bellew versus Usyk fight. I can't wait to see that. It's going to be action-packed. Or lack thereof, because Usyk might just be too slick for Bellew.
That was a fight that I was kind of intrigued about, especially after I read some of Usyk's remarks concerning that fight, when he said, Bellew, when he said it, he needed Usyk to beat the fight out of him. And I'm thinking, not only do you have to worry about him beating the fight out of you, there's a chance that this could actually be a beatdown. What do you think?
I feel like it could be a boxing clinic. I don't know about a beatdown, because I still haven't seen explosive power from Usyk. I mean, he has respectable power to keep you off of him, to keep opponents off of him. But far as, like, really damage a guy up, like, really destroy him, and Tony Bellew was pretty, pretty strong and solid guy, I just see it being like the Billy Joe Saunders David Lemieux fight, how he just outclassed him.
I was scrolling down here, and I might be wrong, because there's an article, and it's by Dan Raphael, referring to David Lemieux. And they're saying that Lemieux will fight an opponent to be determined on the undercard on December 15th on DAZN. So, what do you think?
It'll be a cab driver to make him look good, to keep him, you know, fresh in people's mind. Like, whoo, he's still, you know, still knocking guys out. He got his knockout streak back.
This is supposed to be, like I said, this is supposed to be on the zone also. So, what you're saying now makes perfect sense, because Canelo could fight Lemieux on the zone for Cinco de Mayo, and then we do see a part three on September. So I guess that does make sense. If Mikey's moving up, what does that do for Richard Comey, the number one contender? When you look at the lightweight division, Comey would, I guess they're going to have an eliminator with Comey, but even though Comey's the number one contender, what do we really know about Comey?
Not too much, but we're going to find out when he fight for that belt.
Well, now he's supposed to fight another guy that I've never heard of, another Russian, Isha Cheney. Where do these guys come from? I mean, usually when a guy is number one contender, he's fought someone that you know. There's been, you know, some kind of, back in the day, we knew who the number one contender is. Now there's eight number one contenders for three belts. How does that happen?
Well, you got different sanctioned bodies, and you have fighters nowadays, you know, every time you turn around, they jumping up in weight, going down the division. So it makes it where some of the guys in the lower rankings get to move up in spots, but, you know, be the next man in line.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, when you think of Mikey, I mean, you know, you think of his opponents. I mean, you know, he's fought somebody. I know who has Richard Comey fought. I don't know who the hell Comey is, but anyway, like you said, that there's so many sanctioning bodies now. What did you think of what did you think of his performance over Danny Roman? I personally thought that Miguel Roman. I kind of thought that from the beginning that Roman was definitely outclassed. you could tell that Berchtold had the power. He was much more, I think, much more relaxed in the ring. I mean, Roman came to fight, but he just didn't seem to bring enough ammunition, and I think that was evident more so after the third round.
I didn't get to see it. I just got to see the highlights of that particular fight. So I wouldn't be able to give you a good analysis of a breakdown on exactly what happened. But from what I've seen, he walked the dog on him.
Yeah, he did. We talked a little bit about some scoring last week. Has there been any fallout from the scoring of the fights that we mentioned last week? As far as you know, maybe bringing people in to I don't know what I want to say, renew their credentials or whatever you have to do in the state of New York. Has there been any repercussions over that scoring?
I haven't heard anything.
Have you heard that particular judge being assigned any of the upcoming fights?
Nah, I haven't heard anything about it. Actually, this week was kind of a slow week as far as boxing news.
Yeah, that was one reason why I was kind of thinking that, you know, maybe there would be a little bit more said about it. Couple fights coming up. We have young De La Hoya. He's going to have a fight at home, and we also have Alvarado scheduled to face Morales for a title eliminator. Now, I'm actually thinking this could be a very good action-packed fight. What do you think?
Most definitely. You know, they both come forward pretty much. So, you know, rock 'em, sock 'em, robot. You know how they get down.
The WBO also had a convention in Panama, which ended Friday. And they actually ordered some mandatory title fights as well as some elimination title fights. To reduce some of the things that was some of the unified bouts. So one a junior middleweight. Let's see, who was it? Junior middleweight. Dennis Hogan is supposed to fight Jaime Munguia. What do you think? I think was it right as of now? Hogan is supposed to fight in December 15th, and Munguia is supposed to come back sometime in January. I don't think that they've announced an opponent yet. But what do you think about this pending fight, Munguia and Hogan?
Well, I don't know a lot about Hogan. So I will have to go with Munguia because I don't know much about Hogan at all.
The young boy from Ghana, Dogbo, now he's also supposed to defend his belt against Navarrete of Mexico. Now this is supposed to be on what ESPN December 8th. But this is a top ranked fight. So what are you thinking here? Let's see, what is it? If he wins his fight on December 8th, then that'll be counted as his mandatory instead. What do you like about this young kid? And unless there's a stunning upset on December 8th, what do you see as his future?
Bright future. He's humble, good, strong fighter. Very well spoken. You know, I think he got a bright future. We just have to see, will he be able to take out all of the top competition, the A-level fighters?
You know, we've had a couple threats, as far as, you know, these younger weight classes. We had Chocolatito, who seemed to be kind of like a flash in the pan. Do you think that this kid here can actually hold it down long enough to be fan-friendly and good box office?
Well, he got boxing skills. He got more skills than some Chocolatito. He can just stand there and just go blow for blow, and I hit you and I'll let you hit me back. Like, no, he's not going to do that. He's a real skillful fighter, so I think he'll have a longer run than that.
I guess, you know, as I threatened to do earlier, we do have our Oscar's first cousin, Diego De La Hoya. I think he's been kind of spoon-fed. Maybe it's just me at 122. But he's supposed to defend his regional belts, I guess I should say. I guess he has an IBO 10 and a WBO diamond. And, well, anyway. he's actually going to be fighting on Bien Espanol, another Golden Boy fighter. What do you think of young Diego De La Hoya? More hype than fight, or, you know, what's your thoughts?
I want to see the fight once, so I need to see more of him. I mean, when I seen he was pretty decent, but of course he was in there with an overmatched opponent. So, you know, I won't know until he's really tested. They put him in there with some higher opposition.
Yeah. I don't see that happening for the next year or so, even though I think he's about 24 years old now. As you said, this week was kind of slow. We got a lot of things coming up for December. Of course, we have some fights coming up also at the end of the month. I don't know if you had a chance to listen last week, but we were finally able to get Mark Breland on the show, it was a real delight to talk to the former champ and to talk to him about Mr. Deontay Wilder. Jabron, why don't you, do us any final thoughts you got, my man? Tell them, where they can find you on social media. And above all, before you give them your final thoughts, my main thing this week, even beyond boxing, is to make sure you get out and vote. I don't care. I do care which party you vote for, but I'm not going to, specify any. My thing is make sure you get out and exercise your right to vote. Whatever party you choose, exercise your right. A lot of people have fought and died to make sure we have that privilege. Jabron, your final thoughts for the evening, my man.
I'm sorry, but I was just getting some information. I'm going to have to, I'm just getting some breaking news, but I need to find out if this is reliable sources, if this is true. Because if this is true, boy, he always killed the headlines. And it looked like it's pretty much true because it's everywhere right now. So Floyd Mayweather is entering MMA. He has a press conference going on.
Wasn't it yesterday when Dana White said that Floyd was not going to be fighting with the new guy, Khabib, or As a matter of fact, I think.
We'll just have to dig and find out and fill the fans in next week.
Four days ago, Dana White doubts that Khabib. I forget what I'm not going to mess this guy's name up. He says that he doubts that this fight versus Floyd Mayweather will happen. So I guess you say I'll be looking forward to what you have to say about next week. And let's see if Floyd is going to give him another $300 million check. Hey, talk about the ultimate businessman.
Well, I'll go do some homework and see if all this is true and what pans out, and come back next week and fill you guys in. But keep supporting boxing. Tune in next week for the Usyk versus Tony Bellew fight. That'll be on DAZN. And I'm Jabron Clemens. You can find me on Facebook. That's J-A-B-R-A-N Clemens, C-L-E-M-O-N. J-K, let them know where they can find you at.
Oh, yes, you can definitely find me on Facebook at Jesus Corner. We also have the Weekend Wrap there. And don't forget, we do have a webpage, thefuturistcorner.com. You can catch our latest our podcast, as well as the latest boxing news. Don't forget our program on Tuesday, The Dog Pound with K-9 Boxing. And we look forward to talking to everyone right back here next week. Hopefully we can get Scully back.
JK?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm here to confirm it's true. I'm watching the press conference right now, and he's fighting some Japanese fighter December 31st, Toshin Nakatsuka or something like that.
And is there anything about what weight class he's going to be fighting?
It doesn't say any weight class, but it just has the opponent talking right now on the microphone, and Floyd Mayweather is sitting next to him.
Okay. Well, hey, there you have it. Breaking news on a Sunday evening. Okay, it must be in, is it in Vegas or is it in Japan?
This, I'm not sure. It doesn't say where they're located.
Oh, okay. Because if it was out here on the West Coast, it would only be 7:30. That's why I'm thinking, you know, I mean, it's still, you know, can make the late night news in Vegas. That's why I was wondering, or else it's going to make the morning news. So, yeah, breaking news, Floyd has done it again. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll hear more about it this week as it breaks because, you know, Floyd, if Floyd passes gas, then, you know, half the world wants to call it perfume and the other half, you know, just wants to see what color it is. So, hey, either way, Floyd's making money again, so we'll see. Are we going to have a McGregor rematch?
You never know. We never know.
The boy better not get that. Man, I love Floyd. I respect Floyd very much, but I just don't see an octagon being for Floyd. But we'll see. We'll see. So, hey, look forward to talking to everyone next week. Hopefully, we'll find out even more about this. Like I said, you know, you got to give the man a lot of credit. He has to be one of the best entrepreneurs in the world. The only thing that I'm kind of worried about, LeBron, is, you know, being a world champion, is this going to now make a mockery of boxing? I mean, he doesn't have the proper tools of some of the other boxers that we have seen that have genuinely entered the world of MMA. And, you know, we know this is definitely a money shot, even though I can't say that I think Floyd needs the money. But I think he needs the crowd's adulation. So, looking forward to talking to you about this maybe next week and getting a little bit more of what you think is the psychology of Floyd. And like I said, hopefully we'll get the champ on and he'll be able to talk about that with us too. So, have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to catch us Tuesday on the weekend, on the Dog Pound with K9 Boxing. And catch us right back here next week on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night. See you then. We'll be right back.